Hey there, Gavin Gee here from the Extreme Windows blog, and I'm deep inside the NVIDIA booth at CES 2014 with NVIDIA Vice President Tony Tomasi. Tony, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do at NVIDIA?
Sure, yeah, I'm the Senior Vice President of Content Technology. What that really means is I work with all the game developers to help them create cool stuff. We make tools for them, we make effects for them, we have a bunch of engineers and artists that help try to make gaming awesome.
Awesome. So you get to make the technology happen, and you get to work with a bunch of cool technology, a bunch of cool partners.
Exactly.
Sounds like a good gig.
It's a great gig. I mean, we get to see some of the coolest games long before everyone else gets to see them, which is both really exciting because you get to see all the great stuff, but also really frustrating because you see all this amazing stuff that isn't really playable and you can't really play for like a year or 2 years. So you're just itching to get your hands on it.
Bleeding edge.
Yeah, exactly.
So 2013, big year for NVIDIA. We saw a whole new suite of GPUs hit the market, including the 780 Ti, which I'm running and I love. We had GeForce Experience, Shadowplay launch, and I've actually started to use that as well. Big year. Tell me a little bit about what PC gamers on Windows can expect in 2014.
I think we're going to keep the momentum going. We've got a lot of really cool stuff cooking for PC gamers. So obviously the GeForce Experience is going to continue enhanced. We'll add more features. We've just added Twitch streaming. I don't know if you've had a chance to check that out with Shadowplay. We just added that. That'll get enhanced with more functionality. We're adding a 4K support and surround, so if you happen to have a 4K display, you can get that going. You can get three of them going. We're actually showing that in the booth. And I think in combination with some of the monitor guys, Dell just announced a 4K display that I think is like $700, which is pretty awesome. So now you can actually realistically think about having three of those on your desktop and having 25 million pixels of awesomeness to play with. Mm-hmm. Some other things that we're working on, of course, are G-Sync. We've announced the technology for G-Sync. A bunch of display vendors that announced support for it. So if you don't know what that is, G-Sync is basically a technology that solves for both stutter and lag with display. Classically, the display is kind of in charge and the GPU is forced to synchronize to it, which means that either you have to leave VSync on and you get kind of some stuttery behavior when frames are repeated, or you turn VSync off and you get tearing. Both of those kind of suck. We flipped that on its head, and basically now we've put some silicon into the displays that causes the display to synchronize to the GPU, and now the GPU's in charge. And so now the GPU presents a frame when it's ready. What the result is that you get perfectly smooth, no stutter, no tearing behavior. And we're actually showing in the booth a prototype of a 4K G-Sync display, which is personally what I'm itching to get my hands on.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you know what I like about that is it really allows you to get more immersed in the experience.
Yeah, the great thing is that, you know, the developers always have this struggle, right? They want 60 hertz, they want even some of them 30 hertz, but they want a nice stable frame rate. And so the challenge with that is creating a game that has a perfectly smooth frame rate is really, really hard. You either have to constrain what you put into the game, or you have to not have so many enemies, or not so many explosions, or you have to put a big buffer because you don't know what to expect, which means you're not putting everything in that you could. Mm-hmm. The great thing about G-Sync is you can just turn it all up, you know, turn every dial up to 11, and you still get that smooth, you know, it feels like a perfect 60 hertz no matter what the frame rate actually is. You don't have that stutter or lag kind of feel. So it's, you get the best of everything. You get the best visuals and you get the best kind of smooth experience.
Just when you think it couldn't get better, it gets better. That's what I've seen again and again with PC gaming.
That's what it's all about. I mean, every year it's going to get better. So there's new technology that we've brought. GPUs are going to continue to get better. And, you know, our big focus at NVIDIA has been to kind of ratchet up the capabilities of the GPU without ratcheting up the power or the acoustics or the temperatures of things. And I think you're going to see more of that this year. The performance is going to continue to get better, but we're not going to have to get loud. We're not going to have to get hot. We're just going to focus on, you know, core architectural innovations that drives performance per watt, so people can get awesome performance without having to, you know, move in the laundry room and unplug their dryer and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So 1 year ago at CES 2013, we saw a lot of 4K announcements, kind of on the high end, right? It was like $20,000 TV, you know, really large form factors, that kind of thing. This year, things are really hitting the mainstream. And, you know, games are running really well, actually, with 4K displays and with NVIDIA GPUs. How is that, do you think, going to translate to the average Joe's gaming experience this year? You mentioned a $700 display from Dell.
Yep.
You know, is this the year where people are really going to get to experience this, do you think?
Well, I think so. I mean, if you think back to when, like the last big monitor transition was the 25x16 displays. And when those first came out, they were about $15,000. A few years later, they were about $3,500. And I think when they hit around $1,500, they started to kind of get interesting for the consumers. And now you can find 25x16 and 14 displays for $500. And gamers are using them. I think the same thing is happening now with 4K, but even faster. 4K used to be $3,500 last year. Mm-hmm. Dell's already announced a $700 4K display, and who knows where it's going to go from here. But at $700, that's within reach, I think, of a lot of gamers. Mm-hmm. That, in combination with the developers, are now increasingly they have 4K displays. They're working on 4K content. They're doing enhanced textures, higher resolutions, broader field of views. They're kind of taking advantage of all these pixels to do cool stuff with it. So I think 4K is, we're on the on ramp now, and it's mm-hmm. kind of getting really exciting. But the cool thing about the PC, of course, is that almost every game already supports 4K. It may not be specifically enhanced for it, but it just works. That's the beautiful thing about the PC. Mm-hmm. It just detects it. Oh, great. You've got a nice big display with lots of pixels. Turn it on and turn it up. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about 4K, particularly in combination with G-Sync, is that 4K is 8 million pixels, right? And you need a huge amount of GPU horsepower to play a game with 8 million pixels and get a good frame rate and have all the effects. And not everyone has a 780 Ti or quad titans or anything muy macho like that, but with G-Sync you don't necessarily need to have the baddest ass GPU on the planet. You can maybe have a one or two notch lower. Your GPU might render it at 30-ish frames a second, but with G-Sync you'll still get that really nice smooth experience even though you've got a 4K display.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing with that.
I can't wait to do that.
So what are some of the other partners that you're working with, like in the ISV space, the game ISVs or other technologies, looking forward towards 2014 that you're excited about?
Well, so a couple months ago, we announced a bunch of technologies that we're working on as part of the GameWorks program, which is our developer program for games. We announced volumetric smoke and fire, which is a really cool simulation-driven effect, which a lot of developers have expressed a lot of interest into because, stuff blows up in games, and dragons want to breathe fire, and they want a flamethrower. And so now, for the first time, we've got a really nice simulation-driven volumetric effect that we can work with the developers to integrate. So the folks at Ubisoft, for example, are really excited about things like that. We have developed a new physics system, which actually kind of unifies a bunch of disparate physics systems like cloth and fluids and rigid bodies. Mm-hmm. And so you can scale it all up and turn it all up and get GPU acceleration for all of it. That's called Flex. We announced that a few months ago as well. And I think the other thing that I think you're going to start to see happening probably this year and then will continue more is more and more advanced lighting, in particular global illumination or basically indirect lighting. In the real world, light bounces. In the game world, light doesn't really bounce, at least not in real time. And so you miss the subtleties of that and you miss kind of the indirect effects of light. Classically, the way game developers solve for that is they bake the lighting. They pre-compute it all, and you get kind of essentially static lighting environments. It can look nice, but when you blow a hole in the wall and the sun streams in from outside, mm-hmm. it doesn't really change the indirect lighting environment. You just get a light shaft that comes in. Mm-hmm. I think this is the year you're going to start to see real-time global illumination really pick up. And there's a variety of solutions for that. We're working on it, and we're actually advancing the state of the art on the hardware front, too, to make real-time GI on the PC a kind of a more viable thing.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I mean, to have the ability to blur the line between the environment you're in the game and reality and just the beautiful visuals,
Yeah, I mean, it's that's another great thing about the PC with, performance gets better every year, mm-hmm. right? Whether it, roughly speaking, doubles every year, approximately like that, that just gives the developers that much more freedom to do that much more cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Whether it's water or realistic skin or really cool lighting or great explosions or whatever it is. And with the latest advances in DirectX, particularly with compute shaders, you're starting to be able to use the GPU to do a lot of really sophisticated, not just graphics and rendering, but simulation-driven effects. So smoke can swirl. You can get little eddies and vortices when the helicopter comes in and stirs up the dust. You can get volumetric clouds that are actually truly volumetric. You can get some really cool effects by using the combination of the compute horsepower of the advanced GPUs and things like DX11.
And then game developers can focus on the game environment they're implementing and not all of those technologies that in the past they would have to write from scratch, it sounds like.
That's right, right.
And benefit from the hardware capabilities as well at the same time.
Yeah, to some extent they're... The hardware and the APIs are getting to the point where it's less and less of a barrier to accomplishing the kind of the vision that they want. Mm-hmm. It's not that 10 years ago developers didn't have visions of all this amazing stuff. It was just too damn hard to do or mm-hmm. not practical from a performance perspective or from a software perspective. Now kind of the fetters are off and you have a lot more flexibility and freedom to really kind of create what you want, and the software and hardware is there kind of allowing them to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. How about other immersive technologies like Oculus Rift?
Oculus is cool. If you haven't had a chance to try it out, you should make sure you get it out. So I've been in the graphics business a long time.
Yeah.
And when I first kind of got into this I was at SGI, and VR back then was, I would have just called it science project mm-hmm. kind of technology. Mm-hmm. And back then, I didn't think VR would ever become real in my lifetime. I thought it would remain the domain of a science project class piece of technology. I think with Oculus and some of the other VR pieces of technology that I've seen recently, it's moving to the point where I can actually see it being real in my lifetime, and not just real for, you know, nerdy scientists in a lab, mm-hmm. but for, you know, games, which is pretty darn cool. The tracking has gotten really good. The, mm-hmm. the display resolution's getting increasingly higher, so you have less and less of that screen door effect. With the kind of advent of all this mobile technology, you now have a lot of technology you can wear on your head and not have to have a helmet that weighs 50 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of the things are starting to come together here, so I think, you know, that's pretty awesome. And if you haven't had a chance to check it out, the guys at CCP did a game called Eve Valkyrie, which in combination with Oculus is just awesome. It's a kind of free-flying space combat flight sim, dogfighting in space. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, you know, they should pass out barf bags before, because holy crap, it's awesome. And with the VR, I mean, you watch people playing it and they're like this, and they're just all over the place because they're just so immersed in the game.
I worked on Sensors in Windows, the sensor platform in its initial incarnation. And, you know, we brought Sensor Fusion to Windows, you know, for mobile experiences and that kind of thing. It's really amazing to see that technology mature and become mainstream through the commoditization of the silicon, you know,
that's right.
which the mobile industry.
Well, and the displays, the display technology too, yeah.
Absolutely. So I have the dev kit, the V1 dev kit, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, using that a little bit more and seeing how that experience plays out. So you mentioned the Twitch streaming support.
Yes.
In Shadowplay. How do you feel that is going to impact, or how is that a part of the gaming experience becoming more of a social thing?
Well, I mean, gaming is increasingly social. You know, you've got most games these days have some kind of Facebook or other kind of connection to the social network. People want to share their moments of glory. And kind of classically, the old way you did it was you'd fire up Fraps and you'd play some game and you'd mm-hmm. hope the moment of glory happened. And then you'd go back and you'd edit it and you'd upload the video. And the kind of the problem with that is Fraps created really big files, and that mm-hmm. was kind of impractical. And Fraps had a lot of overhead, so if you didn't have a really beefy machine, your game would kind of chunk along. So the cool thing with Shadowplay is, that, of course, that it's essentially you can leave it on. It's very efficient, uses hardware-based compression in the Kepler architecture, almost no frame rate hit, and so you can just leave mm-hmm. it on all the time. So you never miss that moment of glory. I can't remember how many times, like, oh, I just got that pentakill,
but I didn't
get it on video. Damn it! Right now, it's just everything is always on video. So when I finally get it, oh, sweet, I've got it, you know, upload it. And now the next step, of course, is doing that in real time. And so there's lots of folks who are streaming and gamecasting all the time. You got, you know. I think that the Twitch folks think they have 45 million folks that are watching games, roughly speaking, for about an hour and a half a day, watching people playing games on the internet. That's pretty darn awesome.
It is.
But today, or up until we started doing this Twitch integration, it was kind of, it's a little bit hard to do. You got to get all the right bits of software collected, and you have to have the right piece of hardware and stuff like that. And now we've made it available for everyone. It's mm-hmm. part of GFE, it's part of Shadows Play. You just turn it on, you say, you know, I want to stream to Twitch. It's a pop-up button, and blam, you're streaming to Twitch. It's, again, no overhead, you know, no frame rate hit. It just works. Mm-hmm. You're just up and streaming, which is going to kind of commoditize that ability, and now everyone could potentially stream without having to be, you know, nerdy, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be really interesting to see what happens there. So, you know, looking forward, I'm definitely, you know, all about getting my hands on this technology that we've been talking about. So I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with me, Tony. And if you guys want to see more about this technology that we've been talking about, just follow me along on the Extreme Windows blog, and we'll be talking all about it.
Awesome. Thanks a bunch.
Yeah.